This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the
WFAN. Welcome to the program. I'm Lori Rubenson, talking sports, having fun with you here on The Fan in New York City at 888-808-1019. That is the phone number, 888-808-1019. Phone lines are open. Connor Green is producing. He's on the phones, getting it done on the board, all those things. Pete Schwartz on the updates. I will be with you for 4 hours until 1 a.m. Got some good guests, but that's later in the program. Right now, it's you, me, or hit me up on Twitter, at L. Rubenson. I'll read those comments out as well. Here's how the show is going to go. My guests, we've got coming up at... Here are my three guests. We've got Zach Braziller on St. John's. And for those of you who are just listening, for Rutgers, I'll ask a little bit about that. Honestly, it's a little bit more on the disappointing there. St. John's over UConn. What St. John's is doing is what we thought Rutgers would be doing this season with the kind of recruiting and top talent that they have. So Zach Braziller from The Post, going to join me. That's coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. We'll talk about St. John's and their what Rick Pitino has done is nothing short of magical and truly remarkable. So we'll talk about that. Then also have for you Steve Popper from Newsday, covers the Knicks, and we'll get to that in a moment. But Knicks, the latest debacle of a loss against the Celtics. And then Ryan Dunleavy from The Post is going to join me. Some news out of the NFL. So not sure if you saw it, but for Giants and Jets fans who need a quarterback, that would be both teams. The Rams have given Matthew Stafford's agent the opportunity to figure out what his value is. So does that mean figure out his value so they understand what an extension might look like and they want to resign him? Or does that mean understand his value because it's time to get serious about a trade? So is Matthew Stafford available? We've heard the Giants rumors. The Jets would have to be interested also, I would assume. We'll talk to Ryan Dunleavy about that, the latest rumors there. And then the other NFL quarterbacking news for teams that, hypothetically will be drafting and need a quarterback, like the Giants. Shedeur Sanders will not be throwing or working out at the NFL Combine, which is coming up in Indianapolis this week. It is the NFL's big It's like one big job fair. Everybody meeting in Indianapolis, coaches and general managers and players. And Shador will be out there. He will interview with and meet with teams and talk to teams, do media availability, all that sort of stuff. But he will not work out and throw. Is that a mistake? Or is that a smart decision? So we'll talk all about that coming up. And then we have Yankees and Mets, of course. It's a big week for the Yankees. Changes are in the air for the New York Yankees. Who says that they are just corporate and just traditional? From facial hair to now, it would appear, it would seem, that they may have listened to their fans. And shout out to Keith McPherson, because he's been all over this here at the station. But the Yankees, it would appear, changing the song they play after a loss. It will no longer just be Frank Sinatra, New York, New York. It looks like change is in the air. So we'll talk about that. A bunch of other Yankee stories as well. Certainly, we're watching The Martian, Jason Dominguez, get his first taste out there in left field this season. And didn't go as well today, but that's okay. And we'll also talk about the Mets. The first game yesterday could not have gone better. Obviously, Juan Soto goes yard, home run, first game. And probably the bigger news, Clay Holmes got the start yesterday and went three innings and looked terrific in his transition from reliever to starter. It's just the first game of spring training. We don't go crazy, but all of that to wrestle with and break down. Oh, and an injury today in Mets camp, in Mets spring training. Nick Madrigal, who had been signed to a split contract and looked like he had a decent chance to be that backup middle infielder that was taking the Jose Iglesias spot on the roster. Well, he got injured today and dislocated shoulder. So if he is out now, does that open up a spot potentially for Jose Iglesias, or will the Mets stay with their plan of having that more open roster spot for some of the young players to compete for, whether that is a Acuna or whether that is a Beatty, somebody to grab that backup infielder role, utility type of role on the roster. All right, all of that to talk about. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number. Go ahead and use it. We start tonight, however, with the embarrassment that is the New York Knicks against the Boston Celtics. And the score will tell you that this game ended 118 to 105. And you'll look at that score and you'll say, well, I don't know. I mean, Boston beat them, but it's 13 points. I mean, it's not that bad, right? Well, if you think that, then you didn't watch the game. Because if you watch the game, you would know that the Knicks were never going to win this game. I will say, on the plus side, as opposed to the other six games they've played this season against Boston, Cleveland, and Oklahoma City, which have all been shellackings, humiliations, this one did get interesting in the third quarter. And the Knicks did at least show a pulse and show up for one quarter. The first quarter, the Knicks, it's almost hard to be down this many points in one quarter. The Knicks lost the first quarter 38-19. The Knicks are supposed, the strength of the Knicks roster is supposed to be the starters, right? The whole point was, well, great starting five, and yes, they don't quite yet have the depth that they would want. And this is year one of this core, of this nucleus, and it still is true. This is year one of this core. But even year one of this core, and teams like Boston and teams like Cleveland have had more time to play together and more continuity with those rosters that they kept largely intact. You can make those points. But the strength of this Knicks roster was supposed to be the very, very strong starting five and not as much bench and depth. And by and large, that's been true this season as they have, you know, jumped out to a good record and they're number three overall in the East. And before today's game, number four, I mean, you know, it's not like the three teams ahead of them are the three teams ahead of them against everybody else. You know, it's Oklahoma City in the West. It's Boston and Cleveland in the East. Against everybody else, the Knicks are a representative, respectable, winning basketball team. And even when they play other winning and good teams, if it's Memphis, they beat Memphis. If it's Denver, they beat Denver. You know, they can beat the Pacers. They can beat other teams. Are there some bad losses here or there thrown into that? Yeah, of course there are. But they can beat any other team in the league except the three best teams in the league. Can't beat them. And generally can't even stay on the court with them. And to find yourself, the record says 37-20 now. So 649, so almost, winning about 65%, almost two-thirds of your games. They're a good basketball team. But if the goal is to win a championship, no, not right now. If the goal is to get out of the second round, well, how's that going to happen? Because Cleveland, Boston, New York. So that means if the Knicks win the first round, win a series in the first round, as they have been able to do the last few years, as they have shown improvement, but they can't win that second series. Can't get out of that second round. Well, how are they going to do that if it's Boston? And then if you beat Boston, which isn't happening, then what? They're going to beat Cleveland? And then if that were to happen, which is not, they're going to beat Oklahoma City. They've been embarrassed by all three of those teams. I love the Knicks. I get joy from the Knicks against any other team except those three. They play hard. But I can't say that about today's game. And the first quarter score, 38-19. So they were down by 19 points in the first quarter. Starters versus starters. Start this game. Down by 19 points. Almost 20 points down after one quarter. Now, in the third quarter, in fairness, the Knicks won the third quarter 39-25. At one point, they had a 23-5 run. And what they showed, they got this game within 4 points. And then Boston turned it back on. Joe Mazzulla was ticked off at his team. And that was that. And the Knicks lose again. And the lead ballooned again until a few garbage time baskets at the very end make the score look closer than this game was for most of it. So we learned a couple things today. One, that the Knicks starters kind of can't stay on the court with Boston starters. Two, that when you do put in some of the backups, like Landry Shamet and some of the others played a little bit better today, Deuce McBride, who gave you a better effort, better hustle, better defense. When you do that, they could, for a period of time, give maximum effort, play with their hair on fire, play with a little bit of dog like they had last season with guys like Dante DiVincenzo on this team. They could hang with Boston a little bit. But the other thing that we have to at least ask these questions. One is, I love Tom Thibodeau, and I will always appreciate that he was the head coach that took Knicks fans out of their darkness, years, decades of embarrassment. Leon Rose making the moves from a personnel standpoint with, you know, William Wesley and the entire front office. But Thibodeau and his competence restoring pride in the Knicks franchise that had not been there in years. And I'll always love Tom Thibodeau for that and for the joy of these last seasons of rooting for Knicks basketball and how hard they play and how much fun they have been to watch. I will always appreciate that. But I think if you're Leon Rose, and I know that he is so close personally to Tom Thibodeau, and this Knicks team in so many ways, one of the benefits and the pluses and the strengths of this team is that the chemistry, that everybody knows each other, loves each other, likes each other. That's been a positive for this Knicks team, and it's great. But at a certain point, you can't let those relationships cloud your judgment, your thinking, to do what is best for the Knicks and for Knicks fans. And if you're Leon Rose, you have to ask yourself, is Tom Thibodeau the head coach that can get this Knicks roster to a championship? Is he that guy? Or is he Buck Showalter? And by that I mean, Buck Showalter in his career has been the manager that restores order, builds competence, builds winning habits, lays a foundation, and then he leaves, and the next guy wins championships. Is he Mark Jackson with the Golden State Warriors? And do the Knicks need to find their Steve Kerr? I'm watching right now on my set I've got here in the studio. It's Cleveland-Memphis in a really good, fun, exciting game. Cleveland, obviously, with their incredible record, they made a coaching change last season. Even though they were a consistent playoff team, good basketball team, right? They kept most of their core and their...
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising?
People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Nucleus together. They didn't make a big change. The one change, big change they made in the offseason, they changed their head coach. They brought in Kenny Atkinson. Nets fans certainly know him. And sometimes it doesn't mean that somebody is, the previous guy is not a good coach. But sometimes he is not the one. And so is Tom Thibodeau Buck Showalter? Is he for the Knicks? And if they want to win a championship, do they need to bring in the person who will take this wonderful foundation that Tom Thibodeau has instilled in the Knicks? But you look at a game like today, and there was Karl-Anthony Towns, Cat, hurt his knee in this game, came down funny and hurt his knee and limped off the court, collapsed in pain on the bench, left for the locker room during the game to have that knee evaluated, came back to the bench, rubbing his knee, seemingly still in pain. And what did Tom Thibodeau do? Down about 18 points with like 4.5 minutes left in this game, he put Karl Anthony Towns back into the game, had him out there limping. Useless on defense because he couldn't cover anything. Limping on defense. Limping out there on the court. And why? For a game you were about to lose with only a few minutes left, down 15-plus points. What are you doing? That's the thing with Tom Thibodeau that makes no sense. The lack of, for somebody who has, you know, the common expression, is, but it is true in the case of Tibbs, a basketball lifer, a brilliant mind for basketball, who prepares, who nobody outworks, knows more about basketball than all of us listening right now. But sometimes Tom Thibodeau does not use common sense. And in games when this Knicks team is either up by 20 with a few minutes left and you still have your starters in there because one time he was burned on this, or a game like today where you're about to lose badly yet again to the Celtics and you're going to play your limping big man, Karl Anthony Towns, and what? If he's limping around, does that maybe have a higher degree of stepping funny with the other leg, doing something and hurting yourself? Why would you do that? And if defense is his calling card, and has been in his career, and we know that, this is a generally terrific offensive team. You wouldn't have known it today, but generally a terrific offensive team that absolutely struggled time after time against Boston. In particular, guys just drop coverage for the threes, allowing wide open shooters time after time against Boston. And Mikal Bridges was nowhere and was lost. He was outplayed by Landry Shamet. At a certain point, don't you give that Deuce McBride. Play those guys. If a guy is struggling, I know you're afraid of that becoming a big story, but at some point you have to make adjustments versus Boston. Adjustments versus Cleveland. Adjustments versus Oklahoma City. And you can tell me, yes, they will get Mitchell Robinson back in the next week. He will actually get back into the lineup and play again. And I believe that will make a difference because they're too small against a team like Boston or Cleveland. Yes, that will help. But Tibbs also has to make adjustments. And I just wonder, yes, this is, you can say to me, this is the first year with this core. They will add to it in the offseason. This team will build chemistry and get better in the years to come. All of that can be true. But you have to also ask yourself the question, as good as great a coach as Tom Thibodeau is, and he is he Buck Showalter? Not the coach who gets you to the championship, but the one before that. 888-808-1019. We've got Danny, James, and Chris on the line, so a couple phone lines are open, or you can hit me up on X on Twitter, at L. Rubinson. I'll be right back. Connor and I hanging out. We got you till 1 a.m. Be right back.